Well, we started a series called The Path last week, and this is a study in Proverbs, and we kind of did a little bit of background, and so we'll kind of do that to start off just to get everybody caught up in a Memorial weekend. Some of you were camping or whatever, so we'll get caught up here. But a path is essentially just a place that connects you to another place, right? A road, a walkway, a sidewalk, somewhere you can travel without resistance, right? In the Old Testament. This week we're going to kind of see how it's broken down. So the Old Testament is broken down into three groups of books. The first 17 are historical, right? So that's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, right? Historical. Then you get to the poetic books, which are Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And then it goes to prophetic, right? So Isaiah, Jeremiah, these are all the prophets. And Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Anybody learn the little song in Sunday school as a kid? It's still just ingrained. And I literally just typed these, singing the song, right? It's crazy. But we see in the Old Testament what God has done, right, for Israel, what God has done. And then we see these poetic books, which Proverbs is where we're landing, and then we see what God will do. So that's kind of how the Old Testament is broken down. So we are in this series of the middle part, the poetic books. So the poetic books, Job kind of shows how to deal with pain and loss. Psalm addresses how to walk with God. Proverbs addresses how to walk more with people. Ecclesiastes addresses the nature of life, and Song of Solomon addresses romantic love. We won't go over that. You can read that one in your own time. We're landing in Proverbs, right? So, in last week, the first week of the series, we talked about your direction on your path, right? Your direction determines your destination. Your intention really doesn't. We can intend to do lots and lots of good things, but the direction we choose to go can determine our destination. It really doesn't have anything to do with our intentions. We talked about our intentions and our directions needing to be aligned. So to be on the right path, you need to, one, get wisdom. We talked about reading the 31 chapters of Proverbs over the next 31 days. That's a very good way to get wisdom, the wisdom of Solomon, who's the author. Two was get accountability. Get into a small group. Find an accountability partner. Do whatever you need to do to be able to share what you're going through with someone. Be able to do life with someone. Get an accountability. And then number three was long-term versus short-term thinking. We have to stop. If we're going to be on the right path and our destination, our direction is going to match what destination we want, we have to think about getting there instead of getting what we want in the moment. So that brings us to this week. This week we're talking about an interesting word, and it's called prudent. Does anybody know what prudent means? If not, I'll tell you, but if you want to take a stab at it, you're more than welcome to. Wise? I mean, it's probably in there, yeah. It has to do with wisdom for sure. So prudent means marked by wisdom or judiciousness. That's one of them. There's also a lot of definitions about money and some other things. You know, you have the prudential firm dealing with money. It's kind of a play on that. But prudent means marked by wisdom or judiciousness. And so if you ask Google, right, just literally type in Google, what does prudence mean? It says prudence means being careful about your choices, stopping and thinking before acting. It is a strength of restraint. When you are prudent, you are not taking unnecessary risks and not saying or doing things that you might regret later. See, there's that long-term versus short-term thinking, right? So that's what prudence means, according to Google. Prudence is a word that's found many times in Proverbs. Many times. And we're going to read the very first seven verses of Proverbs. This is This is Solomon saying this is why the book of Proverbs exists. So 1 through 7, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring and a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, the reason for Proverbs is for gaining prudence, right? If he says, you know, simple versus prudent. But it says for the simple person, it's for gaining prudence. For a prudent person, it's to build on your wisdom, right? There's a few other places in Proverbs, a handful, but a fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. And that was Proverbs 12:16. Proverbs 14:15 says, a simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps. In chapter 19, verse 25, it says, flog a mocker, and the simple will learn prudence. Rebuke a discerning man, and he will gain knowledge. Proverbs 22, verse 3, it says, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. And then Proverbs 27:12 says, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Isn't that weird? It's the same exact proverb in there twice, right? Have you guys ever caught that before? I mean, it's the same one in two different chapters. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. This proverb is doubly important because it is in the book twice. It's not a mistake. It's not a typo. This is something that God wants us to grab a hold of. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going and pay the penalty. So, what is the difference between prudent and simple? Right? What's the difference between a prudent person and a simple person? Number one, the prudent makes course corrections. The prudent makes course corrections. I was 19 years old. I was in the Manistee National Forest in northern Michigan. I was with a group of college students. I'd been hired to work at a camp for the summer. And our boss, being a wise person, he decided to take us on this hike. This hike was 3 days and it was 20 miles. We were backpacked in, so like we had about 50-ish pound backpacks. I say we, everyone didn't. I've always been the size of a pack mule, so I always get the heavy bags. Me, a couple other guys my size, we were carrying the tents and some of the food and that kind of thing. But we all had significant weighted backpacks on, right? And so him knowing that a lot of us were going to hate this, but it was going to be so good for the good of the staff. It was such a close-knit group at the end of those 3 days because all there was to do was walk and get to know each other, right? There was no other thing to do out there. I mean, enjoy nature. It was incredible. But the first day we walked in, we had one bottle of water each, and our first day hiking was the hardest one. It was 9 miles, and we had to hike those 9 miles to get to a creek because we had no water other than that water source we were hiking to. And so we're walking, and then every once in a while, our boss, he would stop, and he would get, so this was, this is kind of crazy, but when I was 19, the All Trails app didn't exist, there wasn't smartphones yet, there weren't ways to get around, so he had a map, a piece of paper, and he had a compass, and so we would stop, and he would kind of try and figure out where we were going, right? He was making course corrections. And I'm so thankful, right, that he did, because we could still be lost in the woods. It's a lot of acreage of just open or wooded land with no houses, no electricity, no anything. And I'm so glad he would stop. It was super annoying, right, to stand there with this backpack weighing you like you're going to fall backward after you've hiked, you know, 7 or 8 miles already with it. But it was so so necessary. I'm so grateful that he did stop and course correct. So the prudent, they will look, right? If you think about driving, hiking's not your thing. They will look for an off-ramp. If they realize, right, the prudent person will see danger or see that they're going the way they're not supposed to, or in the illustration, the path to destruction, and they will take a better path, right? They will make course corrections. So the prudent make course corrections. Number two, the simple keep right on going. So the difference between the prudent and the simple, the prudent make course corrections, the simple keep right on going. I was probably 16, and we were riding in my buddy's 1994 Oldsmobile 88. It was not, it was fine, right? It was his first car. We're driving, the low fuel light comes on. You guys been there, you know where we're going with this? Okay, we're driving, it's probably about 9:30 or 10 at night, and low fuel light comes on, and we decide we were good. He was like, we're good, we'll get there, no big deal, right? Seeing the warning signs, we are driving, and all of a sudden the car sputters, runs out of gas. We're like, okay, well, what's the closest place? And it was me and my friend and my other friend. So the guy who was driving was, obviously owned the car. The two passengers, me and my other friend, it was myself and my pastor's son. We were about a mile and a half from my pastor's house. And so that was our option. We didn't have phones yet. We just had to walk to my pastor's house. So we did. We walked, not that bad, right? Mile and a half, no big deal. We get there, we're like, all right, he's got a pickup truck. We'll just jump in the back. He'll take us back to the car with some gas, no problem. We get there, he's in his recliner, and I'm not sure if he was watching a game or whatever. And we told him what happened, and he said, you know, boys, I'm real busy. He said, the gas can's in the shed. He said, it's full. He said, make sure you bring it back full. I'm like, okay, can we borrow your truck? No, you can't. Sorry. All right. And so we walked in the dark with 5 gallons of gas, just trading it back and forth. Do you want to haul the 40 pounds now or do you? I mean, it was horrible, right? I've not run out of gas since then. And so looking back on it, it's like, man, that was, I mean, we were thinking, what, we're just muttering, the whole way, like, what a jerk, why did he not even, but now it's like, and the other two probably haven't either, right? That was a lesson learned. But the simple, they see the warning signs, right? And they just keep going. We'll deal with that eventually, right? Or maybe you could relate to this kind of thing. My current diet will cause problems to my health later. The tacos are delicious, right? I'm just going to keep eating them. We'll deal with that when we get there. Or my financial habits are not going to allow me to retire, but I'm just going to keep on recklessly spending and see what happens when we get there. Or my lack of prayer is causing my relationship with God to suffer. And instead of enhancing our prayer life, we just stick to whatever media fills the void. There's an inner thing in my head that always, I mean, whenever I'm doing something in my brain says that's future Dylan's problem a lot. Like, this happens to me all the time. And then I'm mad at past Dylan when I get there, right? Because we're the same guy. You know what I mean? It's not like my brain tells me, I'm a textbook procrastinator, but my brain tells me I'm just pushing it off for future Dylan as if that's some person we don't have to deal with, right? And I don't know if you guys, can anybody relate to that? Does anybody else have that? Okay, good. I'm glad it's not just me, right? But it's so easy to say, that's something we'll get to later, right? That's going to be some other person's problem to worry about. The problem is that when you get there, it's still your problem to worry about, right? The simple, see the danger and keep going. So, to wrap that little bit up, the prudent and the simple see the same, but they react different. So the difference is in the reaction, right? I'm sure you've just blown by one of these signs before. Again, this is, this is me all over it. Road closes through traffic. All right, we'll see. How far can I get, right? And then I'm going to be on some pothole-ridden road, and then it's going to tee somewhere, and I'm going to be heading east when I'm supposed to be going north, and it's a whole thing, right? The prudent person usually says detour. It's going to be about 10 minutes. All right, we'll just do that, right? At least I know exactly where I'm going and what's going to happen, right? Who are my we're going to chance it people? Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not alone. A lot of you guys were the same ones that raised your hands earlier. This is starting to make sense. All right, good. The difference between the prudent and the simple is how they react. The prudent, in this scripture, right, the prudent sees danger. The simple sees danger, right? They're both seeing the same thing. We're reading the same signs. We're seeing the same stuff. The prudent sees danger and takes refuge. The simple sees danger and keeps going. So if you were to look at it in terms of a tornado, right, we all get, our phones all go off the same, right? The prudent heads to the cellar, right? The simple just pretends, right? This will work. I can't see it. It can't see me, right? Doesn't exist. Or the real simple just go on their porch and watch it, right? That's a lot of us in this room too. Yeah, we're really bad about that here. But so that's the difference, right? So the simple, it also says at the end, right? The simple keep going and pay the penalty. So like whatever the consequence of keeping going, you have to end up paying that penalty at some point. So course correction isn't always easy. In fact, if it were, we would do it a lot more often, right? So where we're going to land today is these four parts of course correcting. So the first one is to change direction, right? We're on one path. We need to change direction when we see danger. So the problem with changing direction is we're drawn to the way we've always done it, right? Who loves change? Anybody? A couple. Okay, good. We're drawn to the way we've always done it, right? I've always had a temper. It's just who I am. It's how I'm wired. I've always been, I've always just kind of blown up or gotten mad at people. It's what I do. Or I've never been good with money. It's not my forte. I'm just going to keep on being not good with money. It's what I've always done. Or I've always had trouble understanding scripture, so I'm just not going to even try and read it. I hear that one a lot. I just don't understand what I'm reading. When we decide to change direction, we get off the path to penalty, right? That's the benefit. Changing direction is hard, but we get off the path to the penalty, the path of destruction, the path that's going to lead to where we don't want to go. Number two, we need to change direction, then we need to give something up. So changing direction, shifting away, often means sacrifice, right? We typically aren't on the path we're on if it's not fun, right? And we do things because it's fun, it feels good, it feels normal, it feels right, right? So changing direction means we're going to have to give something up in order to get on the right path. Sacrificing. We sacrifice things like comfort, right? Maybe I eat tacos because it makes me feel good, right? And I like to do it. I would do that every day, probably twice a day if I could, because they're really good, right? But to give that up, I'm giving up comfort. I'm giving up a food that I like. I'm giving up this normalcy, right? I don't eat tacos twice a day, but I would if I could, yes. You can sacrifice your time, right? I like to spend time doing these things, or I have all these hobbies that I want to do, or whatever. We have to sacrifice time sometimes to change direction. Or maybe it is money. Maybe I'm, in order to get where I want to be when I'm, in the 65 to 80 range, I want to have money to do some things, right? Then I have to do things now to make that happen. Or maybe it's just sacrificing excuses, right? It's giving up all the stuff that says I can't, I won't, this is why I shouldn't. just sacrificing that stuff and going, shifting direction. There's the list could go on forever, right? The prudent change course before the danger is in front of them, right? I will drive every time until I see that excavator tearing the road apart. And then I'm like, oh no, how could I have seen this coming, right? I drove through 10 signs that said, please stop driving, you ding-dong, turn, right? The prudent change course before the danger is in front of them. That's what God wants for us. It's wisdom. It's easier to voluntarily, right? It's easier to voluntarily give something up now than involuntarily later, right? Is it easier to surrender something or have it taken from you? Yes, surrender something, right? It's much easier. Number three, you have to face the music. You have to come clean. You have to admit you're wrong, right? Changing course often means admitting that you've been on the wrong course. That can be embarrassing. That can be frustrating. A lot of pride. You know, we're not, like this. The world will tell us to deny fault and to cover up wrongdoings, right? Just whatever you have to do to make yourself elevated and to feel good about yourself and to make sure that you take care of you, right? That's what the world's telling us. To change direction, we have to admit fault sometimes. God loves for us to see and confront our mistakes. He loves it, right? It's not this shameful thing. God knows that you are human and you are going to fall short, and that when you're on that path, right, he's trying to give us this wisdom to know, okay, I'm doing the wrong thing, danger's coming, what do I need to do to get right here? Right? It's not a shameful thing with God like it is with the world. God loves to see us see, confront, and own our mistakes. And then number four, you get to breathe a sigh of relief while I am over here searching for another road to take, right? You get to breathe a sigh of relief, and it's uncomfortable at first, but you get to say, whew, okay, we made it. I did it. I'm so glad I did this because I avoided whatever was waiting for me over there. You've heard this proverb before in the story of the three little pigs, right? If you think about it, Solomon would have called it probably two simple pigs and one prudent pig, right? It's not as catchy. The two simple pigs built their houses, one out of, hay or straw, and then one was out of sticks. It's been about 30 years since I've heard this. And then the prudent pig, right, what did he build his house out of? Bricks, right? For some reason, there's this incredibly strong-winded wolf hanging out in the forest that doesn't care to really eat them as much as he does just to blow their houses down for some reason. That's never made sense to me. Are wolves notoriously good at blowing things over? I don't know. It's a weird story. Anyway, the two simple pigs, they saw a short-term fix and they went for it, right? And while this other pig is laying bricks and minding his business, right, they're looking at him thinking like, what a dummy. What's he doing, right? It's taking forever. That's probably expensive. Look at all this time and money he's sacrificing on this house. Like, this house works fine, right? In reality, we know the end of the story. So God wants you to be that prudent little pig, right? That's a weird thing to say. But at the end of the story, this prudent pig has got a brick house that the wolf cannot blow over, right? And he's able to help his friends. Right? It wasn't just, he didn't lock him out, right? He didn't lock him out, did he? Okay, right? He lets him in. That's how I thought it ended. He lets him into his house. So not only has he helped him, and his foresight has made a way for him to thrive, he's also brought others in, right? He's also let others in on that wisdom. That's what God wants for us. God wants us to be prudent. He gave us this book of Proverbs, 31 chapters, written through Solomon, wisest man to ever live, He gave us Proverbs so we could be prudent. It's right there in the first seven verses, and it's all littered throughout the book. God gave us Proverbs so we could be prudent. So the questions we'll leave with today: what habit or behavior or relationship or anything needs course corrected? What in your life today are you dealing with? What addiction, sin, shame, relationship, whatever it is, what are you dealing with that needs to be course corrected today? What are you dealing with that says, okay, I know if I keep doing this, I know where it's going to lead. I know I can see that. What area needs to, you need to just own it and say, all right, I'm taking the other path. I'm getting off of this thing. What path do you need to get on or off today? Right? What path do you need to get on or off today? Would you pray with me? God, we just we thank you for this wisdom. It's a look, a peek right into to your wisdom. We thank you so much for that. God, we're so grateful that you gave us a book that tells us how to live and walk with other people and how to be wise, how to gain wisdom, how to go from simple to prudent. So God, we're just asking for your help in that today. Help us to recognize what path we're on and the consequence, the penalty at the end of that path. And God, if we're on a good path and we can see that the end is good, help us to just use this time to gain wisdom, to build upon what you've already started in our lives. So God, we just ask that you would be, that you would reveal whatever that is in our hearts that we need to just back away from, change direction, give up, sacrifice, whatever it may be. God, we're just asking for you to reveal that in our hearts this morning. We just want to live to glorify you ultimately. And God, looking at, studying, and applying your wisdom to our life is an excellent way to do that. Help us be accountable as we leave, to keep reading your Proverbs, to keep diving into your word, and to keep listening and responding when you convict and when you tell us that we're not on the right path. God, we just love you. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The band's going to sing a song of response. Our altars are always open here. They're not a special place, but they're just a great place to come and pray. Nothing magic happens here, but we just always want to offer that to you. Just take these next few minutes and respond and listen to what God is telling you. Would you stand and sing with us?